One day I asked a sister who has been absent from the church for quite a long time. And I asked her why you did not want to come to church. And he told me that he felt the faith of Jesus Christ was irrelevant to her. So that was the reason she felt that even she did not come to church, seems to her the life has no difference. And we studied the Jesus Christ in the book of John. And there are some homework. The first one is try to, from your personal perspective, try to write an article. How is the seven self introduction of Jesus Christ relevant to you? There are seven self introduction, right? How is Jesus Christ relevant to you from the perspective of the seven self introduction of Jesus Christ? The homework will be due. When is the best time? Tomorrow, right? Or no? The sooner you finish, the less burden you have. All right. Okay. Tomorrow or the day after tomorrow? How is Jesus relevant to you from the perspective of his seven self-introduction? Okay. Now we come to Jesus Christ's self-introduction. The sixth one. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is the sixth self-proclamation that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is the way. Now, a way means to connect two points, two destination. If you try to go to LA, you have to go through the Highway 5 South. That is the way. So, Highway 5 is a connection between Southern California and Northern California. This is the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, which means he is going to connect you to somewhere, some destination. And this destination is God himself, the Father, who is in heaven. So if there is heaven, how can I go to heaven? If there is God, how can I be close to God? And the answer is, Jesus said, I am the way. It's very important. Without him, nobody can return to God. So he is the only one way. So apart from him, there will be no salvation. So he is the only one. And I am the life. I am the truth. How can Jesus become our way? How can you walk in his way? To the destination to meet the Father by the truth. So truth is the way, and once you walk in this way, you have the truth, and you God have eternal life. So I am the life. So this is the sixth self-introduction. So Jesus Christ is critical important for us, every one of you, if you try to pursue something higher spiritually. We are the lower being compared with God. God is a higher being, right? And as a lower being, how can we break through, make some breakthrough and reach to the higher being? The answer is Jesus. So he is the way. There is no other way. So there are a lot of founders of different religions, but there is only one way, only one Savior, which can save you into the kingdom of the Father. So this is the sixth self-introduction. The seventh self-introduction, if somebody asks you a question, how come it is so difficult to change others? Right? You know, nowadays, the most common reason for divorce is what? Incompatibility. Irreversible incompatibility. This is the most common reason. And this is a very beautiful legal term. But in the Bible, you can never find this should be the reason of divorce. And when a couple is going to feel incompatibility, when you try to change others to fit into your thinking, your own idea, then you will find out it's so difficult. So if we try to change others, you are going to be disappointed all the times. Or the parents try to change the children, especially when they reach to teenager. They try to demonstrate themselves as an adult. So they try to detach themselves from the parents. Parents try to change them. Most of the time, we feel very futile. Put a lot of effort without result. So this kind of frustration will strand the two generations. So how can we change others? How come it's so difficult? The reason is because we even cannot change ourselves, right? So how can we change others? So if we want to ask a fundamental question is, how can I change myself? This is a very important question. Why? Because when there is a problem in the interpersonal relationship, most often people are going to blame on others. It's all because somebody else fought. What does that mean? Somebody else had to do something. It's not me. Even in the church, the same. If the church in disharmony, you see, most of the people will feel somebody has to do something, but I am not the one. I have no problem. And everybody feels somebody had to do something. It end up nobody do anything. So if we feel that we are part of the problem and we start to change ourselves, then you can see the church is growing. But the most difficult part is how can we change ourselves? This is the most difficult part. Sometimes we know ourselves quite well. And sometimes we don't know ourselves. There is a so-called blind spot, just like you drive a car. If you try to get a license in the driving test, one of a must you have to do. When you change them, you have to turn your head to show, I know there is a blind spot which you cannot detect from the rear view mirror, right? But same thing, there is a blind spot which we can never totally understand ourselves. So how can we change ourselves? This is a very tough question. But eventually, after he have gone through many different trial, many different disappointed and frustration, you will find out there is one answer so simple. You don't have to spend money. You don't have to spend time to see the psychiatrist. Do you know? Some kind of psychiatrist, you go there, they just keep on digging your past history. So if a children go to see the psychiatrist, you will end up the children have deeper hatred to their parents. Because today, I am who I am because of my father. When I was young, he abused me, and scored on me. So right now, I'm unhealthy psychologically. So this kind of psychological therapy sometimes do more damage than heal the relationship. Because you are not focused on the origin of the problem. The origin of the problem is human nature. Our human nature has a problem. So you only can change your own human nature, then you can change the problem. If we try to neglect this critical part, we try to do some remedy superficially, it doesn't help at all. So we always mention from the biblical perspective, if both parties have very high spirituality, there will be no marriage problem. A marriage problem is a spiritual problem. And other people put on a question mark. How can it be? It should be. If husband and wife has so high spirituality like Jesus Christ, well, this couple divorce is impossible, right? Because Jesus say even you have to love your enemy. If your spouse is your enemy, you still have to love your enemy. How can it's possible to divorce? It's impossible. So this kind of irreversible incompatibility should never happen in the member's life, in the church. So if we were to try to cure the marriage problem, yes, you have many superficial ways to do it. But the fundamental way is come back to God and start from repentance and tell Jesus, I'm wrong. I want to change myself. Please help me to change myself. That is a starting point to change your marriage from the bottom. To change it. From the root of the problem, to change it. So how can we change ourselves? Now the answer will focus on the last self-proclamation of Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 1. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He said, I am the true vine. And if Jesus is the true vine, then who are you? What's our relation with you with him? Let's see. Verse 5. Chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, and it is that bears much fruit. For apart from you, you cannot do anything. I recall that one time I passed by Bakersfield. You know the Bakersfield, right? From here to LA, you will pass Bakersfield. You took 99. Okay. And a lot of vineyard along the way of 99. One day I find out that there are a lot of branches has been cut off and fall down on the ground. Only the main trunk remained there after the harvest season of the grape was over. And the gardener just trimmed all the small branches because that is a way to make the grape, the vine, to bear more grapes in the next season. So we have to stay connected with Jesus Christ so our life can be changed and then we can bear more fruit. And by doing so, we can change ourselves, transform our life, and then through our own transformation, the interrelationship, interpersonal relationship can be improved. So if we see the a lot of, if you read a lot of counseling books, you go to the books bookstore, look into the counseling books, you can categorize the counseling books into two parts. The one part is God oriented, the second part is human oriented. The human oriented means you are human being, you have some kind of potential has not been developed yet. So you have to fully develop your own potential to solve your own problem. So you don't need God. You have the potential to solve your problem. That's human-oriented. Now, and God-oriented counseling book tell you, we human beings, after Adam commit sin, we have sinful nature attached to our nature. So you have conscience to tell you what is right, what is wrong, but you cannot change what is right and what is wrong. So the answer is you come back to God and ask help from God. This is called God-oriented counseling. And eventually you will see the dramatic change of a personality actually is coming from when a person joined together with Jesus Christ. And the life has been abundant through the life of Jesus Christ. So there are seven so-called self-introduction in the book of John. And this is the seven answers to our problem. Now, Jesus will give you the answer. And he is himself is the answer of our problem. When we go to each chapter, we are going to discuss the topic deeper. Now we come to the point three. The title of Jesus has been mentioned 15 times in the chapter 1. Well, we should not use the title or the term. The terminology related to Jesus has been mentioned 15 times in chapter 1. And from different terminology related to Jesus, you can understand Jesus Christ is a very unique person. So the Bible used 15 different terminology to describe him. Okay. So today we study one by one, and then see the mystery, a mysterious person of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see the Word, W-O-R-D. And in verse 14 say, the Word become flesh. The flesh means human being. That means Jesus Christ. So the terminology of words is closely related to Jesus Christ. So the words become flesh. Okay. When the Bible say the words, it's not only mentioned about speech. When you give a speech, you have to use a lot of words. When say, in the beginning there was a word, the word is not only a speech of God. It is God in action. It's God in action. So this is called the words. If you read the Bible of Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, how did God create the universe? Right. Well, when in the summertime you go to the seashore, you try to use the sand to make a castle. Right? It takes you hours. It takes you hours, right, to make a castle. or you try in your home, you try to make a deck out of your own house. It takes you weeks. So we try to make something out of something. It takes us many, many times to do it. But when God tried to create the universe, how did God do it? Let's see, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And God said that there will be light, and there was light. God said there will be light, and there will be light. You try to see what is going to happen. In the evening time, there will be light to see what happened. Nothing is going to happen, right? Unless you have some kind of electronic device and the program in the voice activated, that kind of, that is light. Light turn out. So God can use His word to create something out of nothing. So when the Bible says, in the beginning there was the words is not only speech. It's the words in action. God's words in action. The action in creating. Psalm chapter 33, verse 6. By the words of the Lord, the heaven were made, and all their host by the breath of His mouth. You see, by the words of the Lord, the heaven were made. So the words of God is powerful. And also, these words in action, not only creating, it also in revealing. God's words continue to reveal His message, His will, so that people can understand Him more from His words. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing His secret to His servant the prophet. 8. The lion has roared, who will not fear? You talk about that in the Old Testament. If God without use His speech to reveal His secret, then the prophet cannot do anything. And the prophet can do something all because God speaks to the prophet, continue to reveal His will to the prophet. So the prophet knows God's will and can go around to preach the warning of God. And also, these words in action including redemption, continuing redemption. In the book of Psalm, talk about. We don't have time, we cannot go even deeper. And this word later on become flesh. It means Jesus Christ. So this is the first terminology. Now come back to John chapter 1. chapter 1, verse 1, and the last sentence. The word was God. The word was God. God, the title of God, actually is related to Jesus Christ. And if you see chapter 1, verse 19, I'll try to explain, 18. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is in bosom of the Father, and He has made Him known. The Son has made Him known. So actually the Word was God. Jesus was God. He's God. And verse 4. John chapter 1 verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. and the light shine in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. From verse 4 and verse 5, we can see one term, the term called life. So Jesus said, I am the life. So verse 4 says, in him was life. So life, referring to the physical life and eternal life. So he is a source of life. So he is unusual. And in the book of John, there are so many times talk about the term of life. Chapter 5, verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son also have the life in himself. The Father means God has life in himself. So he granted the Son means Jesus, came to the world, have life in him. So Jesus was able to proclaim, I am the life. Even he who died shall be resurrected. So in him there is no death. Chapter 6, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eat this bread and will live forever, I shall give for the life to the world is my flesh. I am the living bread, and this bread will give you life. So Jesus is life. And also chapter 10, verse 10, talk about Jesus, I come to give the sheep life and give the life more abundant. He is going to give us abundant life. Abundant life. What does that mean, abundant life? Abundant life means the fullness of the life. Just like Jesus had the fullness of the life of God, so he was able to manifest the image of God. But when we have the abundant life in Jesus Christ, the fullness of the life of Jesus Christ, we also can manifest the glory of God himself. So there is a hymn say, let others see Jesus in you. Because in him, there will be abundant life. So other people will be able to see Jesus in us. And chapter 14, verse 6, yesterday we quoted, I am the life, I am the resurrection. That'd be chapter 11. And chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, we already mentioned that. And chapter 17, verse 3. And this is the eternal life, that they know thee, the only one God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And this is the eternal life. No God and no Jesus. And this is the eternal life. Okay. The next term is the true light. Let's see. John chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 9. And the true light that enlightened every man was come into the world. And verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. You see, the true light that enlightened every man. In the next one, the Roman chapter 4, we are going to discuss a lot of truth. Anything related to truth in the book of John, we are going to separate this. But in verse 3 and verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shine in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 4, talking about the life was the light of men. In other words, if the light of God shine upon us, you are going to have life. In the book of Isaiah, there was a prophecy, right? And the prophecy was quoted by Jesus Christ when he started to preach the gospel. In the book of Matthew, the people sit in the shadow of death is going to see the great light, right? And the great light actually referring to Jesus himself. And the shadow of the death means everybody. We are living under the shadow of death. But when Jesus come, he is the light. And the light will dispel the darkness. The death is going to come out of us. Cannot control us anymore because he is the light. So in the book of John chapter 1, when the Bible mentioned about light, there are two meanings. Verse 4, the meaning is the life. The light referring to life, especially the spiritual life. And the second meaning, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And this light shines in the darkness. This light referring to goodness and evil. Which means morally incorrect, morality. So verse 4, the light referring to the spiritual reality, which is eternal life. Verse 5, the light referring to moral reality, which means the total righteousness. Total righteousness. So in the John chapter 1, the light has two meanings. If you can refer to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And now I beg you, verse 5. This is the message I have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him no darkness at all. If you say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. So when say we walk in darkness, it means we walk in sin. We live under sin. So, John chapter 1 talk about light, two meaning. In the spiritual reality is eternal life. In the moral reality is perfection and total righteousness. And this light, become man, with Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has moral authority as well as spiritual authority, because he is the light, and he is the life. He is the light, and the light come into the world. So who is the person who has highest moral standard? The answer is the one who has Jesus abiding him. And who is the one who has fullness of life? The answer is the one who has abidance of Jesus Christ. Apart from him, the life can be never fulfilled. Apart from him, there is no perfect morality. One day I read the article and talk about homosexual. And the article was written by an atheist. And he tried to make a point. If homosexual is right, then who can say incest is wrong? Right? If homosexual is right, right? Who can say incest is wrong? Actually, he tried to make a point. It means, what kind of standard are you going to use? What kind of standard you are going to use? When a lot of people feel homosexual is right, then it's right. Right? So nowadays, right and wrong usually judged by majority of the opinion. And when this opinion changed, and right and wrong changed, maybe 100 years later, when majority feel the incest is right, then incest is right. Because everybody's opinion will make you feel right or wrong. And this kind of judgment is not reliable, because it's changing from time to time. And the most reliable is Jesus Christ himself. If Jesus feel right, then it's right. If Jesus feel wrong, then it's wrong. He is the absolute standard because he is the light, unchanging light. Now, in him there is no darkness. So when you try to build up your own moral system, your moral standard, don't base on my feeling. Oh, I feel this right, so it's right. Don't base on the trend, the culture here, because culture is right, so it's right. No. One day you are facing judgment. You are not. God is not going to ask you in the beginning of 21st century, what is American culture? I'm going to judge based on that standard. No, that's not important. When Jesus is right, then it's right. It's wrong and it's wrong. So no wonder if a person wants to be a righteous person, there's no other way. You have to be enlightened by Jesus Christ. You have to under the shine. Under the exposure of his light, so you can understand what is right, what is wrong, morally, so you can have a fullness of life. Okay. Now, next terminology. Three. The only Son from the Father, the only Son of man, the Father. The Father means God. So the only Son from Father, actually very similar to verse 34, the Son of God. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. And in the book of John, when Jesus called God the Father, what happened? When Jesus called God the Father, what happened? In the book of John, I think you had previewed the book already. When Jesus proclaimed that God is his Father, then what happened? Later on you are going to study that, right? When Jesus proclaimed that God is his Father, the Pharisees tried to stone him. Right? Because they say, you are the man, how can you call God as Father? You're trying to make yourself equal with God. Right? So when the Bible says Jesus is the Son of God, this is a very bold proclamation. Because this puts Jesus almost equal to God. He is the Son of God. We are the man. We can say, I'm the son of my Father. My Father is man, so I am the son of my Father. I am the son of a man. Now, that's no problem. But my Father is not God, so I cannot say I am the Son of God. But Jesus said, I am the Son of God. So which means Jesus was unique, he's so different. He was able to proclaim, I am the Son of God. And what does the Son of God really try to say in this terminology? If you see the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 4, Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Start from verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. the gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, verse 4, and designated son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness, but his resurrection from the dead. So Jesus is the central figure of the gospel. If there is no Jesus, there is no gospel. So the book of Romans chapter 1 tries to introduce the central figure of gospel. Verse 3 says Jesus is a man, is a son of man. So he is a historical person. Oh, he really exists in human history. Oh, and verse 4 is talking about he is not only the son of man, he is a son of God. And he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why he has to say he is the son of God? Because he comes from God, so he has no sin. That was the reason he was qualified to die for our sin. If he is only the son of man, right, he still has sin. Just like you are the son of man, I am the son of man. Everybody, we are the son of man. So we are born in sin. But Jesus was the son of God, come from above directly, through the body of Mary. So he has no sin. So he was qualified to become the Savior, to die for us. So the son of God. Why the Bible had to say he's the son of God? Come back, page 84, Romans chapter 3. The terminology being used to mention about Jesus. The word become the flesh. We already mentioned that. The Lamb of God. Verse 29. And the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who take away the sin of the world." John the Baptist entered him. "Behold, the Lamb of God." Can you give some explanation? Why the Bible has to say the Lamb of God? Why the Bible has to use this terminology to describe Jesus, the Lamb of God? Shall we turn to the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19? But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. Right. In the Old Testament, they had to kill the Lamb, to shed the blood for the forgiveness of the one who offered the sacrifice. So the Lamb of God, referring to Jesus, he is a sinless, perfect Lamb. And he shed his blood to cover our sin. So he is a Lamb of God, a Lamb prepared by God for our sin. We have 2 more minutes to see whether we can study one more. Next one, the Son of God. We already mentioned it. Rabbi, verse 38. John chapter 1, verse 38. And Jesus turned and saw them follow him and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi." So Jesus was considered a teacher. But in the other verse, described that Jesus was not uneducated rabbi. And how come he was not educated, he was able to be a rabbi, to be a teacher? Later on, we are going to study in the book of John. He said, "Because the Father directly revealed his words to me. So whatever I speak, I come from my Father, not from anybody teaching." Okay, he is a Messiah. Messiah means a Christ, the Savior, the Anointed. Verse 41. He is a Messiah. Okay, we stop here. This afternoon we are going to continue. He is the one who Moses wrote in the law. He's a Nazarene, and he's the king of Israel. Where three more terms are related to Jesus. We try to study. From different terms, we can understand Jesus from different point of view.